getting back to your band, Witch Taint, which sort of actually that's actually even getting a little bit ahead of it, because it's sort of your black metal bits, we'll call them. It's sort of a dual-headed thing, because it started out as a series of letters from you pretending to be a teenager writing to an actual black metal musician in Norway,
yeah,
about putting together and getting your band signed, and eventually this became a stage show with you and Phil Costello.
Yeah. So you know the whole scoop.
Yeah, I'm definitely not reading off of a script. Okay. I did my research, and I'm also bringing this up because when I told my girlfriend that you were going to be on the show, she's really excited. She's a fan, and she said that she saw you about a decade ago at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland.
Oh, nice. Oh yeah.
And and also saw you do the reading at Union Hall in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Witch Taint started in the early 2000s. I started just for my own entertainment, just being an idiot, I started emailing. There was a website that had all these contact email addresses for black metal bands. And I was into black metal, both musically and also just, you know, entertained by some of the absurdity. And so I started emailing them pretending to be this teenager called Lance who had a band called Witch Taint, where that was the most extreme satanic black metal band of all time. And usually the exchanges didn't last very long. And then in 2004, I stopped, and I did it again in 2004, and I emailed this label, and the guy wrote back, and it just went back and forth. And I would just email this guy, and I didn't think it would be of interest to anybody. So I just had two friends who were into black metal, and I would show them the emails every once in a while, once a week. I'd be like, here's the correspondence for this week. And they had passed it around, and eventually one friend sent it to another of his friends, and once it had run its course, he built this website, theblackmetaldialogues.com, with all the emails. And the emails are, it's not like, oh, look at this idiot guy at the record label. The guy actually comes off as kind of very nice and patient,
mm-hmm,
with my character Lance, who's a complete moron. So if it were this thing that were that had been oh, look at me playing this fool, I wouldn't do that in the first place, and I wouldn't want to share that with people. But I think the guy actually comes off as a good guy, so I didn't mind sharing it. And so, but that was, it was kind of just on the internet for years and years. And then in 2017, my friend Tris Nelson was like, oh, you should, people were always like, oh, you should read these on stage. But I wasn't sure how it would really work. And then so Phil Costello, my friend, and I read it at St. Vitus, and it went over really well. And we did it again at St. Vitus. And then I got asked I was supposed to do South by Southwest. And I said, I just started doing this thing, Witch Taint, where we read these emails. Can I do that one of the nights? And they were like, yeah. So we went down and did it. And we didn't think anyone was going to show up, but there was an article in the Austin Chronicle about it. And we walked to the show, and there's a line. It was something out of a movie. There's a line down the block. And we're like, huh, wonder what else is going on at this theater tonight? What are all these people doing here? And so that was really, so a sold out show, and it was a lot of fun. We kept doing it and ended up going, did it in London. Then we did it in Oslo, in Norway. And Fenris from Dark Throne was in the front row, which was we're like, oh shit, what if he doesn't like it? And then he really liked it. He really liked it. So that was nice. And we were relieved. And it's then.
Good. thumbs down.
And then we got asked to do it at the Wacken Festival in Germany. And by then we had added like four songs to the show. You know, we'd read these emails and like kind of break out and play songs to backing tracks that we had recorded. And, you know, we're in the middle of this field in Germany in this tent doing this show. And like, you know, probably like it was like a few hundred people. And like some people were just super confused. Some people were into it and just the full range of reactions when we were reading the emails. But when we would play the music, everyone would go crazy. So I think on this, we did 4 days. We did every day of the festival. And I think on the second day we were like, fuck it, let's just be the band. Cause like, you know, it's pretty fun. So we made this, we made the record and put it out right at the beginning in April, the perfect timing to put out a record, April, 2020. But yeah, so there we go. And end of the year, it's number one on your year end list actually.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Sure.
Spoiler alert. But yeah, so yeah,
it's actually on my top 10 list from last year too.
Yeah, I mean that's a real testament to the power of the music, that we were able to go back in time and make other lists even before the record came out. You know, I think it's just a strength we have. So hopefully, you know, once the plague is behind us, we'll get back and play some shows.
Well, I was happy that I got to see the live Witch Taint at the Metal Injection holiday party. That was a lot of fun. Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was a really fun night. That was
super the
fun.
First time with the full band?
No. We had done, I think we've played 6 shows as a full band. That was an early one for sure. But yeah, that was a fun night. I love Metal Injection. Those guys are good buddies of mine. And that was a really fun night. All sorts of fun folks, good fun.
Yeah, it was a snap decision, and it was it was a Tuesday, and I did have to work the next day, but I said fuck it.
Fuck it. You made the right choice.
I'd say so. It was a great night.
I enraged people though, because I got asked to sing War Pigs during the first part, you know, when they were, people were like, and no one knows the words to War Pigs. Did you know
that? Everybody knows like little parts of War Pigs.
Yeah, I mean, and then also like the first couplet, I guess, for lack of, in War Pigs, They rhyme masses with masses.
Yeah, it was like when Kid Rock rhymed things with things.
Yeah. And it was not until I sang the song myself that I realized that. But people got mad on YouTube. YouTube commenters were really mad. Because I didn't know the words, so I had them on my phone. But
I forgot about that.
No one knows the words. Ozzy doesn't know the words. Ozzy has a teleprompter, and I just wanted it to be my tribute to Ozzy by reading the words to War Pigs off of my phone. Some people were upset about it.
Those people don't do a lot with their lives.
No, you know, it's a I understand. I understand. People get mad.
They enjoy invoking misery onto others.
If I had a do-over, I would have memorized all the words.
If you had a do-over, we would have gotten you a teleprompter, not a phone.
I know.
I had anything to do with that night.
I wouldn't have been, you know, I could have just gotten an iPad or something. It wouldn't have killed me. Or spent 5 minutes. I could have memorized the words on the subway on the way out.
A Macintosh from 1998.
Yeah. Why not?
That would have been awesome. But yeah, that was awesome. Well, So how did you like put that together? I mean, obviously like Phil's your guy that you did the other show with, and he's your other vocalist. And then you have,
he's the main, he does the majority of the singing, in which he's a much more powerful instrument than I have. So, well, we did it, you know, we put it together. We recorded just the majority of the record we recorded just in our apartments. We live just a few blocks from each other. And then as we were doing it, our friend La Sinistra, aka Jen Valley, who's a professional opera singer. She's an amazing person, amazing singer, opera singer, and singer in general. And I became friends with her, and I saw her on her Instagram, she was singing opera, and I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, do you want to sing on these songs? So she came over and sang, and then we added, we kind of just did it all Frankenstein, and then we did drums, and then the band is Dean Rispler from Dictators, Murphy's Law, and a bunch of other great bands, and he's called Dean Ripper in the band. And that, you know, you have to have an alias. And then Tom Beaujour, Thomas Guillotine, and then Dave Richmond on drums, Dave also plays on the record, and he's Marcus St. Bastard. We're the best band.
Oh yeah, undoubtedly. Dave's done some work with my friend Ken. Drums on a project. Yeah, I don't know him, but I know of him.
He's amazing. He's a beast.
Yeah, he was good on the kit that night.
Yeah, he's incredible. So yeah, we did it, you know, just made the record in cult form and using old laptops in our apartment.
Well, it is a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah. So hopefully when the plague is gone, hopefully, you know, everyone can play again. When Cheese Plates, I'll be on Bill Maher. It's all going to come together.
Yeah. We'll get your complimentary cheese and cracker plate, your Poland Spring.
I love it.
We'll have you, everybody will open for Witch Taint.
Yes. Yes.
Roger Waters will open for Witch Taint.
That's how it pretty much, you know, every band where it doesn't matter when in the evening we play, everyone opens for Witch Taint. If we're playing, even if we're going on first and playing the shortest, that's a choice. That's our doing.
Oh, that would be funny. The other thing that you have done, you were a DJ on WFMU, and being from New Jersey, I'm obviously a fan. Show is the goddamn Dave Hill show. I wrote the goddamn Dave Hill song. Is there a goddamn Dave Hill song, or is that just every single one of your songs?
Well, if there, I would say Angel Witch by Angel Witch from the album Angel Witch would be the answer to that, because that's the song I would play every week on the show. That's the one song I would play every week. So I feel like I've done more to spread the gospel of Angel Witch than anybody in recent memory,
including Angel Witch.
I mean, I've turned a lot of people who would otherwise not have heard of Angel Witch onto Angel Witch, in my opinion.
Oh, I like them. They're fun. I haven't listened to all of their stuff, but the stuff that I've listened to, I thought was quite good.
I recommend an album called Angel Witch
by Angel Witch.
Yes.
I love a band that does that.
Oh, yeah. The Trifecta. Black Sabbath,
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, there's it's a power move. I mean, if you're a band, and you know, yeah, just self-titled album with a song that's named after your band. That's pretty much how you do it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of, I think it, if you're going to go with that, it should be like the law.
Yeah, I mean, it's a missed opportunity if you don't do it, I think.
I agree. It was funny when I told my mom this, and she was like, I was like, oh, hey, I'm getting Dave Hill on the show. And she went, the goddamn Dave Hill? And I said, yeah, the goddamn Dave Hill is going to be on the show.
Nice. I'm glad. Glad she had that reaction. Yeah, yeah. I did the FMU show for 5 years. It was super fun. It's a great station. And yeah, good times. I think this is the only time I really hosted a radio show.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've done podcasts, but it's the only terrestrial radio I've ever done as a host.
What do you prefer? I used to do college radio.
What do I prefer?
Like radio is the medium
between radio and podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a silly question. I feel like podcasts would be like would be the obvious answer just because of the freedom involved.
Yeah, but there's something really fun about live radio and terrestrial radio, you know, where it's just, you know, people, you know, in their cars and things like that. I think it's pretty cool. And then, you know, people calling in and, you know, I think a thing with WFMU and the cool thing about it was just there'd be people who were just like happened to be listening and had no idea what my show was or who I am or whatever, and would just call in. So you just have some random person like, I was just flipping through and I heard this show and I was like, what is this? And then you give out the number, so I was calling, what are you doing? There'd be a lot of that. So that to me is entertaining for me. It's fun for me. So
did you usually just like fuck around with them?
Yeah, it depends, you know. I mean, because sometimes people would, you know, then they would call every week, and then you just have some people who would just be like, what are you doing? Seriously, what is this show? I was just flipping through and it came on and I was like, who is this guy? So you know, that's always a good feeling. But yeah, I like it. Good times.
Were you ever like, that's goddamn Dave Hill, haven't you heard?
You know, I think I'm understanding when people have no idea who I am. as much as I, you know, would love to live in a world where of course everyone would know exactly who I am, I, you know, I feel like I have a realistic sense of, you know, my place in the world at this point. You know, so there's a few people out there who don't know who I am, and I have to accept that. And then you convert them one heart at a time. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll walk away a fan. Maybe not. You know, like people listening to your podcast, some people might know who I am and some people might not. And, you know, they might go like, I like that guy. Or they'll be like, I'm going to kill that guy. They say it like that too. They don't articulate words very well. I'm gonna kill that guy. Like, I don't know what I would have said to enrage anybody, but possibly, you never know.
You never know. People get mad about a lot of dumb things these days.
They do. Yeah, it's a good time in the world to get really mad at stuff.
Oh yeah, I got mad at my my bookshelf the other day because it kept falling.
Oh, your bookshelf had it coming.
Yeah. Well, it got nailed.
Oh, good. Yeah. When in doubt, put an extra nail in it.
Nail in the bookshelf. Better than a nail in the coffin.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to dissuade you from making that burrito metal shirt, but what you just said would also make a good shirt.
Nail on the bookshelf, better than a nail. That would be a good one.
Put that on the back of the burrito metal shirt.
Put that on the back, yeah.
Be like, I don't know what's up with that shirt, but I want one.
kind of like, I guess, to weirdly jumping back to metal, you don't seem like a metal guy optically, but like you obviously have a deep appreciation for it. Like, what was it that drew you to it? Is it like just going back to like Zeppelin, like blowing your mind, or because like, you know, Zeppelin doesn't sound like Autopsy, you know?
No, I mean, no, Zeppelin, I don't think of, you know, I don't think of them as a metal band. Mm-hmm. The question you're asking, what draws me to metal, or what drew me to metal initially? Yeah. I think just probably a combination of just always being into guitar music. And, you know, so that was probably primarily it, you know, as a kid, just being like, I'm into guitars, people playing guitars, and and taking guitar as far as I can go. And I think in, you know, metal is a great area for that, you know, doing cool guitar shit. And then, and just, I think any genre of any art really, where people are like taking, just pushing it as far as it can go, is always interesting to me. So from a musical perspective, metal is just kind of an obvious thing in terms of like pushing, you know, just pushing it farther and farther, and, you know, and, you know, who can be the heaviest and how they go about it. I think there's ways of cheating. Not a big fan of seven string guitars. I think that's cheating. In fact, if you want me, without naming names, if you want me to just shit on a lot of bands, I'd say, is there a seven guitar string? Is there a seven string guitar on stage? Not into it. I don't like that band.
What about a 12 string guitar?
Okay, now I'm back. I do like a 12 string guitar, or like a nine string guitar. Like, I think Matt Pike played a nine string guitar on occasion at one point. I take it back. There are some bands that play guitars with more than six, like Portal, I think, plays guitars with a lot of strings on them. And I like them, or I like what they're doing. I should say, I don't really sit around and listen to it that much, but I like that they're doing it. Metal is one of those things where you can go like, I don't want to hear that again, but I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
with some bands like Portal would be a good example.
You know, I never actually thought of it that way. I never really thought of metal being like the genre where you can kind of be like, you know what, they're doing a good job, but it's not for me. Cause I feel like that just doesn't exist with a lot of other, like, that doesn't exist with pop music. It's either, I feel like with pop music, or at least for a certain period of time, it was just, this is good or this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's the job of pop music, is to just kind of deliver right then and there. But I think some, you know, like jazz, classical, metal, those three at least are genres where I think people do stuff that you maybe don't want to hear. Like, you're like, I don't ever want to hear that again, but I'm very glad it's happening. Those would be three genres where I think that's the case. I can't right now of another genre to add to that list. I'm sure I'll think of it later. But I think that's what I love about metal. I mean, aside from, like, you know, there's, I could name 100 metal bands easily where I'm just like, oh, I like the sound of that and I want to listen to that. But but in general, in terms of what draws me to it, like, you know, I love, yeah, just guitar and like pushing guitar further, every instrument, you know. I mean, obviously with like drums, you know, amazing drumming happening, double kick, or better yet, people who accomplish double kick sounds with one kick.
Yeah. Just,
you know, the cooler way to do it. The cooler way.
The drumming in some metal bands is so good they can create their own drum programs, not out of thin air. It has to be built around it. But yeah, I mean, that's like the dude from Meshuggah. I'm like, wow, that guy just created drum beats.
Yeah, I will say that I don't like triggered drums. If you want me to really draw a line in the sand.
Define triggered drums. I'm not the best with all of the music terminology.
Like when you're hearing not the actual instrument, but rather, you know, you can trigger, like the drummer will hit the drum and then you're not hearing the sound of the drum he hit. You're hearing like a sample that.
Oh, okay.
In its place. Like, I don't want to say what bands I went, but like a very popular band I went to see, and like a lot. Well, in general, when the bands use trigger drums, it sounds like wussy to me. It doesn't sound heavy to my ears. So here's what we've learned. Are there more than six strings? Are the drums triggered? I'm calling you guys pussies. No, just kidding. No, there are bands that do all those things and that are great, but in general, I don't like it. I would rather hear real drums.
If you could get back on Twitter, would you address this stance?
Job one. That's the first thing I would do is go after triggered drums.
Do you think that after Trump leaves office, you'll be able to get back on Twitter? As you were, as I look at my notes to bring up, you were banned from Twitter for
mother jokes. Yeah.
For threatening potential, but consensual sexual intercourse with various Trump supporters' parents.
Well, I would get threats and insults from Trump supporters and I would respond with like mother jokes that like a 12-year-old would make. And that was the joke. Like, how do you argue with someone who's responding with a mother joke? That's the dumbest thing in the world. And people would get really mad. And eventually I got reported enough times that my account was suspended. Which is,
sorry, Dave was hacked by the Russians briefly.
Honestly, one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Because I think Twitter is just the dumbest, biggest waste of time.
Bad. I jumped off of it.
That being said, if there's anyone out there that can help me get my account back, I would love to get that.
Well, it seems pretty easy to hack.
I mean, you can get, yeah, but no, I mean, not being on Twitter, I gained like 2 hours in each day at least. There have been people that, like, there's a guy I know who says he can get, a friend of mine's like, I could get you your account back now that Trump's going to be out of office and there's no danger of you falling into your old ways. Like, I think I can get you back on there. But I don't know if I would want to, because I do think it's really stupid waste of our time here on Earth to be tweeting. I think all social media is pretty dumb. There are things that I like about it, but I mean, I don't like the internet even, period.
Which is strange, because a lot of what you're known for has kind of stemmed from the internet.
It's true. I mean, it's ironic that I say these things. No, I guess I would look at it as a necessary evil at this point, but I do think the world would be a better place without it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it was not regulated properly. Yeah, I mean, there's some cool things about it, but there's also just like a lot of bad things about it. And this is nothing groundbreaking that we're unleashing into the world.
No, we're telling it like it is.
Yeah.
Like, they broke it down and really gave me something to think about. That's what people are going to say.
Yeah.
I can feel
pretty
it.
Much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think actually in an interesting way, the idea of your engagement with those fans, because I wanted to get your opinion on it, is like, this podcast is ultimately, I like to think more about fans and fandom than it is specifically about, you know, just doom metal. Cause like, you know, I like to know what other people think and, you know, and what their perspectives are on, like, you know, scene, cult, a culture, whatever. So like, what does the word fandom mean to you?
Fandom? I guess just having fun with something and enjoying it and kind of letting it enrich your life. However you can do that. You know, I think, you know, if I can just say with Doom, I mean, Doom, you have the music, you have the instruments, you have, and if it's an area of interest, you have the weed culture often associated with it. You have tons of amazing artwork.
Yeah.
You have beards, tattoos. You have sweet Vans. And I mean, any genre of music, you can have a sweet fan, though. I don't know why I said that. But fandom would be, yeah, like kind of like getting into the whole thing. You know, give me something else and I'll come up with 10 other things with that thing.
but for you, like, because you're like a known person, like,
very famous.
Z-list, yeah, sort. Massively famous.
Very famous.
But like, you know, for you and like you're on your own platform, like, what's it like for you to be that, but then also like maintaining that you're a fan of others? Like, has that always stuck with you, or has that the concept of remaining a fan like gone away at all? Most people I talk to are like, oh no, at the end of the day, I'm still like a huge fan of this. And I'm asking you, it's kind of a rhetorical question, because I think you're a good example of somebody who does like embody fandom in like a pretty cool, unique way.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of the stuff I do is coming at it from a perspective of just being a fan of that thing, and want to the point where I'm like, I want to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I think I think it's different for me with like comedy versus music. You know, I think comedy, I'm maybe more thinking in terms of like strictly like what's entertaining to me. I'm not so much thinking like, who are my favorite all-time comedians and how can I do something similar to what they did into my own thing? Whereas music, I feel, is more like that, where you can be like, what would the Beatles have done for this section? You know, like, I don't really do that with comedy, where I think like, oh, what would this person have said? You know, I'm more just trying to think, you know, what I'm thinking about. But I think music is maybe more like that, where you can kind of go. I mean, I think music is obviously the whole, is just kind of an art form that's more, you know, it's really all about being directly influenced and just thievery in many cases.
That's for, pretty know, sure.
You know, not even in a bad way, but, but yeah, all of it. And you know, I think, yeah, I just everything I do, I'm kind of, it comes from a point, the jumping off point is being a fan of, you know, seeing something or hearing something and saying like, oh, I want to do that. So and obviously I'm a, you know, I have my King Diamond action figure, I have my Tony Iommi guitar. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of you know, I mean, just in this room, just, it's just all sorts of bullshit that I'm a fan. I've just got a book on painted trucks in India. I'm really into that. I mean, I'm in a big phase now. I watch videos on YouTube of artists in India painting trucks. I watch those like every night. I'm obsessed.
Help you sleep? It's like ASMR.
It's like, I look, I'm just like, I get so jealous. I'm like, oh man, I want to paint a truck like that. So, yeah, no, I think it's endless. I'm kind of endlessly a fan of different things, and it's kind of always changing and growing. Yeah. I mean, but I think everyone's like that, or they should. I do know some people who aren't into, like, I have friends who are like, aren't into music. Like,
yeah, like, I have friends who are not into
music. They don't. they don't obsessively listen to music. And I just find that really weird.
I said on another podcast to my friend that I've known since kindergarten, and I said, I think there's two kinds of people. There's the people that go down the music rabbit hole, and then there's just people that don't. And there's nothing wrong with that if you don't, you know, and you might just like, you know, kind of some surface level stuff, or it's just like something that you're like, I'm just not really like following this closely, or this is just not really for me. But
yeah, I mean, I can't relate to that.
They're very different kinds of people.
Because I'm like, I pretty much listen to music whenever. I mean, there's some times I can't, you know, like anyone can't, but like I can't, if I'm writing, I can't listen to music really.
Same.
So I don't then. But it's generally, I always, when I, if I can ever, if as long as I can think and get things done while still listening to music, I listen to music pretty much always from like the second I wake up to drifting off to sleep.
And metal, I find, is good working music.
Metal's really is really, yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it's really, it's good. It can get you fired up. It can make you, it can help you relax, I think. I think it depending on what you're listening to, I think it can, I don't even know what other music I would say that about. I mean, I guess many different kinds of music you'd say that about, but yeah, metal, like, you know, because some of it will just like blast your senses so much that it relaxes you. You're just like, mm-hmm. There's metal for every moment of the day.
Absolutely. There's metal for yoga. There's metal for cooking, metal for working.
Exactly. Shower metal. You got to see my shower metal playlist. Blow your mind.
Is it just all like water themed bands?
Yeah, it's a lot of sailing dirges type things like that.
With an Aqua song thrown in for good measure.
Yeah.
So what have you been listening to as of recent, as we're kind of hitting towards the end of the year?
In terms of metal?
No, just in anything.
I've gone through real phases lately, especially during, not to bring up that pandemic again, but I've really, I guess because there's not much else going on, I've been able to like really pay attention to like what movies I've been watching and what music I've been listening to, because I pretty much do that, and then I'm just kind of doing my various stuff. I'm trying to pull up my jams, man. My sick jams. I went through a real phase of listening to, well, for metal, a big band for the pandemic for me, my pandemic jams. Do you know Niflheim from Sweden?
Yeah, I do know of them. I think they are. I was thinking of, or however you say it, Nephilim's Noose. There's another one. And then there's another band called Field of Nephilim.
Yeah.
A lot of Nephilim bands. So there's this is just Nephilim or Nephilim or however you, Niflheim.
Really like them. And then I challenged myself to. I listened to a lot of, I started watching movies, like I'd watch only like French films, and then I would watch only Indian movies. And then I had this phase where I was watching only Jamaican movies, which I couldn't really find that many.
I couldn't tell you a single movie.
There's The Harder They Come, there's Rockers. Then there's one, it's actually based set in London, Babylon. And then there's like, what's the other one? Countryman, which is great. Anyway, so along with that, I was like trying to like find, because reggae I find is like a really, there's good reggae and there's bad reggae, and it's like a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
Finding, you know, which one is which. So I had a big reggae phase. I wasn't like dressing differently or anything. Only I was really aware. No, if you were even seen me, you would have no idea. Reggae phase. If you were to look at me, you would be like, no way is that guy in the midst of a reggae phase. But I was. And oh, I was only, I don't think anyone knew it. It's just me all alone on my solo reggae phase. And then I'm just kind of coming off of, I'm always listening to French pop music, like 60s and 70s. I go in and out of that every once in a while. I kind of was deep into that for a little while. That ended a few weeks ago. I'm trying to think what's going on. Where am I now in my phases? I don't even know. Now I'm kind of all over the place. But I would say those are some recent phases I've undergone.
I listened to Frank from Metal Injections Band. He's got a record out.
Oh, yeah. I love Frank. And he's called, an amazing drummer.
Yeah, he's great. He was one of the first guests on this podcast. I think he was within the first.
I love Frank. I love all everyone at Metal Injection.
Yeah, they're a lot. They're a good group of guys.
Totally.
But it's called Night Soil. Check that out. That's funny. I didn't think I was gonna bring this up, but I'm glad I actually dipped back into a band that actually I don't talk about enough with Mike being a formative band, really, but it's nothing groundbreaking. I'm sure a lot of people enjoy Daft Punk, but like it was cool to jump back into Discovery after all these years.
Oh yeah.
And that album is so good.
Bands there for sure.
So is that some Blood Incantation? Always.
Oh yeah. I love Blood Incantation. I actually, I'm friends with Paul from Blood Incantation, and he's been he's an expert on BC Rich guitars, guiding me, schooling me on those guitars.
That album was so good.
Oh yeah.
One of the only shows I saw this year was Blood Incantation. Just popped up.
Oh, nice. I've never seen them live.
They're so good. They're crazy good.
I've seen videos, but I've never in person seen them.
And I like this band called, this is probably the, I was listening to this yesterday when I was fixing my bookshelf. This is a band called VHS.
Oh,
never heard of them before.
I don't know that.
They have a lot of records on their Bandcamp page. They're not very long, but if you like death metal and horror movies and samples, you will like this.
In business. Nice. I'll check that out.
I have a new record out. It's called Gore from Beyond the Stars. And you would think that it's like a stoner metal album because it's like a... it's a green color, but it's like an astronaut touching something and he's melting into a gooey skeleton.
Nice. I'll check it out. Yeah, I was just looking at what else I've been listening to. So I've been listening to Psychic TV a lot lately. Chris Reifert told me about this band Cotton Jones he's been digging. So I was listening to them. They're really good. This is really up to the minute jams. I listened to Fu Manchu on my run the other day. Now I'm like literally going through this is my past week listening.
I dig the Foo.
Yeah. They're you can't go wrong.
No, they're like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I don't know. They're like slippers. You put them on and they feel good.
This is accurate.
Maybe it should be called slipper metal and not
slipper metal.
I don't know. I think burrito metal is a little more marketable.
Totally different genres.
Oh boy. Yeah, I could see some people having that debate between burrito metal and slipper metal.
Oh man. that if you really want to see people fight, get that debate started.
Well, is there anything that you'd like to plug at this time?
Oh, so many things. Follow me on Instagram at Mr. Dave Hill, at Mr. Dave Hill, since I'm not on Twitter anymore. Get my new stand-up album, The Pride of Cleveland, out on 800 Pound Gorilla Records. Get the new Painted Doll record, How to Draw Fire, on TP Records, and Witch Taint, Sons of Midwestern Darkness, also on TP. All three records came out this year. Or you could read one of my books. I have three books I've written, all wherever you get books. Just all sorts of things. That's enough things. That's too many things to mention.
And TP Records has put out quite a few notable doom bands over the years. So you're in good company.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they put out a ton of doom stuff. Don't even get me started.
Well, I won't, because I think I've kept you too long. So I'll hold that to another time.
Oh no, it was my pleasure. I hope I did all right.
I think you did just great. I did notice within the last like 15 minutes, you have a friend poking out behind you.
Oh, I do. Yeah, this is Glenn Danzig. I feel bad that I can't remember the name of the artist who did this.
Oh, I thought it was a woman. That's even better.
It's Glenn Danzig. I need to get this framed in repose, I guess you could say. But my friend Kevin McComb, his friend, made this for me, and it's pretty amazing. And because I have not had framed yet, I just put it up here on the windowsill.
When you were going back out to Ohio, like, and you were packing things up, like your JB and your Glenn Danzig cheesecake artwork, did your girlfriend look at you and say, like, essential things?
Well, the Danzig artwork was sent to me here.
Gotcha.
So, no, I mean, we bugged out so fast. There was really no... I mean, it was a matter of like, you know, we were in New York and very quickly things got pretty hairy and, you know, there was a mobile morgue a block from our house. And we were like, you know what? Let's get out of town for a little bit. And we really thought it was just going to be a couple weeks, but we got out here and we realized wherever we were going to be that, you know, we would just be not doing anything. So we thought, why not just stay here in the middle of nowhere? And, you know, we still, you know, our apartment's in New York and all that. And landlords check, you know, friends are, you know, popping in, making sure hasn't been taken over by poltergeists or anything. But yeah. But now I try to take some Danzig something with me everywhere I go. Yeah.
We love the Misfits here on Diary of Doom.
I love the Misfits. I love Danzig, Samhain. I met Glenn Danzig once. He was a delight.
Well, Dave, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking on this on my podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Let me know when this comes out. And do you edit it down or is it all warts and all?
I usually just edit out like spacing and anything like that.
A lot of dramatic pauses.
Well, I edit it to where it makes sense.
Okay.
I don't want to lose the character or anything like that.
Right, right.
So
cool, man. Well, let me know when it's out and I'll tell the kids. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And thank you. This was great. And that'll do it for this chapter of the diary. Stay safe out there, everybody.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now what do I do?
You don't have to do anything. I'll just end this.
I just go take the dog out.
Hello, Lance, the king of black metal. What are you doing?
Just eating some leftovers.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Well, I wish it was the stewed brains of the undead or maybe the congealed souls of the damned or something. But it's not.
Well, what is it then?
Noodles with butter.
Oh.
Was that okay?